Fans, Jim Friedman joins us, and I said, really, just an accomplished writer and producer, and he produced this documentary about Marty Glickman that is here in the Bay Area now. And just to give you a little bit of a background on Marty Glickman, this is the triumphant story of Marty Glickman, a record-setting Jewish sprinter who on the day of his race at the 1936 Nazi Olympics was dropped from America's relay team to appease Adolf Hitler. Marty went on to become a beloved sports announcer in New York as he revolutionized sports broadcasting by inventing such classical basketball terms as swish.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
In a Hall of Fame career that spanned over 50 years, he would paint his word's eye pictures as the first voice of the NBA, of the New York Knicks, the Giants, and the Jets, as well as create, listen to this, Pat, HBO Sports.
Wow.
And be a mentor to a who's who of sportscasters. And Dick Enberg is one of them,
okay.
And I talked to Dick a little bit when he was here with the Padres about Marty Glickman. The documentary is a testament to a man who overcame racism and prejudice and whose life embodied the joy of sports. So he became a great broadcaster, but it goes back to 1936, and Jim Friedman, the writer, producer, director of this documentary, joins us. Jim, nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Marty.
Yeah, pleasure. Tell us about, in your view, why this story was important to you and how it came about, and I'd love for the fans to hear the history of this.
Well, I used to actually work for Marty Glickman, which is a bit of an interesting story. When I was 17 years old, I used to drive into New York City with my older brother and watch him produce Marty Glickman's late-night radio show on WNEW, which, by the way, was kind of a groundbreaking show. It was one of the first all-sports call-in shows in the nation. And one day I'm sitting in the booth, and my brother has to tell Marty he has to go in the Army Reserves, and he's going to need to find a new producer. Without missing a beat, Marty Glickman points in the booth right at me, and he says, "Jimmy can do it." And I turned around expecting to see another kid named Jimmy sitting there. There wasn't, and for the rest of that year, I produced Marty Glickman's radio show. He taught me to get the scores off the wires, write them up, screen calls, schedule commercials. Pretty heady stuff for a 17-year-old. But the main thing I took away from that is not once, the whole time I worked for him, did he ever treat me like a 17-year-old. He treated me like his producer. Meanwhile, when I worked for him, I was so naive, I didn't even know his Olympic story. And very few people did. He didn't talk about it unless every 4 years at the Olympics, journalists would ask him about it, and then he'd talk about it. You know, he was from that generation. You didn't brag. You didn't talk about things, you know.
Boy, amazing. Oh, no, I want you to keep going. I'm mesmerized already by the story. I love the story. So Jim Friedman was the Thin Tim.
Right.
Of those days. I refer to one of our sports producers here at KNBR.
I wonder if sports talk radio was like then what it is like now with people calling up and saying the manager sucks and all that, right?
It wasn't as hostile as it is today because it was new, so people were a little bit more on their best behavior. But Marty used to say that the people listening are very different than the people who call in. And he said you have to differentiate between the – he said the people who call in tend to be a little more extreme than the people who just listen.
Boy, that's so true. All right, take us back, though, to the real crux of the story. And Marty Glickman is someone I remember as I grew up and a very famous name in broadcasting. As I said, when Dick Enberg was here this week, I talked to him about Marty Glickman and what a mentor he was to Dick Enberg when HBO started and back in those days. But the Olympic story is really the crux of the documentary, and bring us through up to date on that.
Well, the Olympic story, Marty Glickman and Sam Stoller were two Jewish sprinters on the 1936 relay team, and American Olympic Committee, and this has historically been proven, at the time, Avery Brundage was somewhat sympathetic to Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime.
You're being kind, by the way, there.
I am being kind, because
right.
it's 2 years after the Olympics when the Nazis hired an American company to build a German embassy in Washington, D.C. They hired Avery Brundage's company. So, anyway, Marty was replaced. They came up with a phony story the day of the race, and they said that the Germans were hiding their best sprinters to upset the American team in the 400 relay. And he and Sam Stoller, the other Jewish runner, were replaced by Jesse Owens and Ralph Metcalf, who had already won several medals. And Jesse voiced his objection to that and said these guys deserve it, they should run. But Dean Cromwell, who was the assistant head track coach of the Olympic Committee, said to Jesse, you'll do as you're told. And as Marty said, back then, black athletes did as they were told. And he did not get a chance to run. And then, of course, World War II happened. So in 1940 and 44, there were no Olympics. So Marty Glickman never got a chance to run. But as he said, he may become more famous for the guy who didn't run than the guy who did. But this stayed with him, this slight, I think, his whole life to a degree. And to me, the film was about what happens when an 18-year-old kid, his dreams are crushed by racism and prejudice. Do they become bitter? Do they become the Jewish term a mensch and thrive? And obviously, that's what Marty did. But 50 years later, he returned to Berlin Stadium. And when he was there, he was walking along on the track on the part of the leg of the race he would have run. And all of this anger and bitterness that he had no idea had been within him for 50 years poured out. And he started cursing all the Olympic officials and everybody who prevented him and Sam Stoller from running. And but the thing about Marty Glickman was he took that slight and made sure in his life that no one he ever came in contact with would be slighted again. And he did an enormous amount to help the youth programs in New York City, the Police Athletic League, the high school sports programs, because, as he said, they gave me my life with these coaches and these programs, and I wanted to give back. And he also, you know, when you say mentored, he mentored Marv Albert, who was, he mentored, you know, as a 14-year-old ball boy on the New York Knicks. And Marv used to say, I used to answer the phone like Marty. I'd walk like him. I'd talk like him. You know, Bob Costas. You know, he helped Larry King. You know, Frank Gifford. The list goes on and on. And by the way, all these people are in the film, along with Bill Bradley, Jim Brown, Oscar Robertson, David Stern, Frank Gifford, Elliot Gould, Jerry Stiller. I could go on and on. And they didn't do this film because I called them. This is my first film. They did this because of their love of Marty Glickman.
Boy, what a great story, Jim. I'm so happy to have you with us. Now, is the film in the Bay Area right now?
And it actually is. I'm so glad you asked. It's playing today in Berkeley at the Rota Theater at 2:10, and then as part of the San Francisco Jewish Film Festival. And then it is playing Monday, August 6th. In San Rafael at the Rafael Theater at 4:30. So today at 2:10 in Berkeley at the Rota Theater, and August 6th at the Rafael or Rafael? How do you
San Rafael. I can't
right.
even say it. San Rafael.
4:30. Anyway, it's there August 6th. And then in several months, I'll be able to announce, a big distribution deal for the film theatrically and on cable.
Wow, terrific. Jim, thank you so much for being part of us today. And Patrick, any thoughts for Jim before
he
goes?
That's just very powerful stuff. And I was none the wiser to Avery Brundage and his whole background and the 72 games, which he has such an impact on. And man, that's really good stuff. And I look forward to watching this film.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Very special,
I appreciate
Jim.
It. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Very good. Thank you, Jim.
Jeez,
boy, very good.